Hallelujah. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them your comeback is coming. Look at your other neighbor you just rejected and tell them yours is on the way too. We've been talking about a comeback this month, and I love this series. Your setback is really a setup. We believe God is able to take the greatest setbacks we face in life and turn them into our greatest comebacks. Without a doubt, experiencing setbacks is an inevitable part of life, and it is a painful part of each and every one of our lives. And so I just want to go back and define the word setback for you momentarily. And it means to return to life and vitality. It means to recover from defeat. It means a new effort to win after experiencing failure. And we've all been through those moments in our life. And when we experience a setback, it's easy for us to get stuck. But the whole purpose of this message and what we're here to do is to empower you that no matter what you face in life, you can walk in victory every single day by the power of Jesus Christ and His resurrection from Calvary. It is proof that we are able to overcome anything we face. It doesn't mean life is always going to go the way we want it to. It doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. There are going to be painful moments. But we don't have to allow our pain and our tragedy to become our identity. Amen. And so if you've got a Bible today, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It's very important for us to grab hold of this very simple truth that we cannot change our past, but we can change our future. We cannot change our past, but we can change our future. Can y'all read that with me? We cannot change our past, but we can change our future. Let's read it again. We cannot change our past, but we can change our future. One more time with everything you've got. We cannot change our past, but we can change our future. And so the last 10 days especially has been so powerful. And I have received more testimonies in the last 3 services than possibly in the history of this church. And I'm just blown away. And another one I want to share with you, because last week we talked about the blame game. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And then I talked the Wednesday night before that about it's okay to cry. If you have not heard that, I want to challenge every person to pick up one of those CDs or listen to it on the app or the website. But here's an email I received that's just so powerful and just grabbed my heart in such an amazing way. I believe it will yours too. It says, I just wanted to share how the it's okay to cry and the blame game have spoken to me. My husband and I lost a child through miscarriage, and today would have been their 4th birthday. My heart was shattered, and I spent a year totally lost and very angry. Angry to the point that my husband considered leaving. I was angry with God, knowing that He had all the power to prevent this from happening, and angry at my husband as his life seemed to go on, and I was struggling just to breathe and to face everyday life. I was too busy to go through the mourning process, and to be honest, part of me didn't want to finish mourning. I felt if I let go of the pain, it would mean that this child would not have been important to me. But because of the service last Wednesday and the prayer after, I was able to say, okay, it's time to be okay. And then on Sunday when you spoke out the blame game, although I was not mad at God anymore, I still held Him accountable for not stopping this pain from happening. I realized that I needed to place the blame on Satan for causing the miscarriage and begin thanking God for catching my child when it did. Thank you for being so transparent, sharing your life with and walking this road with us. Can you give God praise for victory in that mother's life? That's amazing. And so I've got one story after another from you of individuals who have said the same type of thing. And the reality is, Satan wants us all to feel like we're all alone in this deal, right? He wants you to feel isolated. But there's somebody else in this room going through the same things you're going through right now. And when we talk about it, and when we're real about it, then we can experience amazing power and healing together. And that's really why it's critical that you take time to be in church every single week. And John sent out a push on the app this week that I got a kick out of. He said, what could you possibly have to do that's more important than coming to church today? But the reality is, this has got to be a priority, because the Bible says when we confess our faults to one another, God makes us whole. And so I thank God that we get to be real with each other. I'm going to be real with you, and I want you to be real with me. I'm going to talk to you, and I want you to talk to me. Amen? Can we give God praise for that today? All right? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, and before you write me off and think, well, I've heard this preached a thousand times, we're going to take a little bit different look at this passage today. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and here's what he says. He said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." Now, he's not leaving the ladies out. It could have said sister-in too. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Somebody say one thing. Paul was very specific. He focused. He said, "One thing I do." Here's what it is. "Forgetting." Somebody say forgetting. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead." He said, "I forget about the things behind and I reach forward to what's ahead. I press." Somebody say, "I press." Toward the goal. It's in a direction. He has his eyes focused on something. "For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us," somebody say that's me, "as many as are mature, have this mind." In other words, think this way. "And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." He said, we need to all the church need to be on the same page when it comes to this. And if you don't get it, God's going to show it to you, all right? Somebody say, "God, show it to me." Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name that you would show yourself to us today through your word. God, anoint us. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit. Breathe life into us today as we turn the pages of your word. And Father, we thank you that you're going to inspect and expect from us. And God, we believe you to do something great in this place. Most of all, I pray if there's anyone here that does not yet know your Son as their Savior, that before we walk out these doors, they would call upon your name and they would receive Jesus Christ as Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, can you give him praise for what he's about to do in the next few minutes? So today I want to talk to you about getting past your past. Getting past your past, because I cannot change my past, but I can change my future. I want to read it out of the New Living Translation to get a little bit more light on it. And he says in verse 13, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." How many of you can say today, "I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way"? Right? I'm not there yet, but I am on my way. Okay, he said, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing. I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And so I'm going to give you four ways today you can get past your past. Number one is you've got to face it. You've got to face it. Paul acknowledges he had a past. Every one of us in this room have a past. Thank God for the three real people. I said, all of us in this room have a past. And I thank God that his future is greater than my past. Now, here's where I want to put a twist on this, because we know the Apostle Paul's story. Most of you know his name was the Apostle formerly known as Saul. He kind of like sounds like Prince. The artist formerly known as Prince. He is the apostle formerly known as Saul. He's on his road to Damascus. He is a Jew among Jews. He is one of the highest leaders among the Jewish ranks and religious ranks. And he had excelled. He had amazing accomplishments. He had done phenomenal things. Today we could say he went to Harvard and he was very well accomplished. He had doctorate upon doctorate and so on and so forth. And Paul was a Jew to Jews. He was a leader to leaders. He was a success story. He was a rising star in Judaism. And we know that on his way to Damascus, God shows up to him in a bright light, and he is introduced to Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. And his life has changed forever, and it completely changes the trajectory, the direction of his life. Now, what you've got to understand is Paul had traveled around persecuting the church, and he was actually there when Stephen was stoned, and Paul was the coat keeper, so to speak, as everybody came and laid their coat down because they really wanted to wind up and get a good pitch with that rock they were throwing at the person, so they would come and lay their coats down. He watched over their coats so that they could go and stone him. And so Paul oversaw and would lead these charges into cities and drag Christians out, mothers and fathers and children out of their homes, and lead them off to be killed or tortured or imprisoned for their faith in Jesus Christ. And he thought he was doing what was right. But then he meets Jesus and he realizes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen? And so Paul obviously would have some incredible regrets at this point, because not only has he fallen in love and had an amazing experience with Jesus Christ, but now he realizes that he is the reason that so many believers were killed. And so that's a lot to carry on your conscience. And so that's the negative side of our conscience. But Paul also has a positive side of his past, and that is his accomplishments and his achievements. And a lot of times when we're talking about forgetting the past, we're talking about people's failures. But I want to say your success can be just as dangerous to your future as your failures, because success can be just as haunting as it is daunting. Success is a heavy thing, and there are those of you in the room today that, although you don't identify as much with failure, you do identify with success in your past, and you've been very blessed. But what I want to say to you is you're living under the pressure of repeating and performing the same successes in your future you've seen in your past, and maybe you're being crushed under the weight of that today. But the reality is all of us have a past, and you've got to face it. You've got to look it in the eye. You've got to acknowledge it before you can do anything else about it. And I'm many people who are still running from their past. I know you are, because I was one of them at one time. There was a time in my life I was running from the pain of my past. And no matter how hard I ran, I could never get away from it. It was always there with me until the Wednesday night 19 years ago that I stopped, turned around, and looked my past in its eye. And I said, I choose to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, God didn't just redeem me, but he redeemed my past. And he took everything that the devil meant for evil in my life, and he turned it around for my good and for his glory, because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? And so, number one, you got to face your past. Number two, you got to forget about your past. Somebody say, forget your past. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. And this is something he focused on. One thing, forgetting the past. And Paul is an achiever, and he knows how to accomplish a goal. And he knows that in order to accomplish his goals, he's going to have to focus. He's the guy who said, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the race. And so he said, I have to forget about my past. This was a willful choice. It's something he has to intentionally do every single day. He has to forget it. Somebody say, leave it. Okay, when I leave something, I increase the distance between where I am and where it is. I leave it behind me. Okay? Last week, Anna carries a cell phone so mommy can get a hold of her, and because she's got little sister with her, and she left it on the bus. Well, she knew all about leaving, because the color left her face when mom asked her where her cell phone was, and she started panicking. But the distance between Anna and that cell phone was increasing by the moment. Now, thankfully, the bus driver found it, but when we leave something, we're increasing the distance between where we are and where it is. Again, when I leave something, I am intentionally increasing the distance between where I am and where I was when I suffered that setback. I am increasing the distance between who I used to be and who I have become. Now, this is very, very important for you to leave the past in the past, because we obsess over our missteps. We obsess over mistakes and missed opportunities. And many times we're haunted by regrets and tormented by those things. But when you keep these things near, it makes your change impossible. It makes healing impossible. It makes moving in the direction God wants to take us impossible. Because I'm keeping it right next to me. It's right here with me constantly. I'm not increasing the gap between where I am and where it is. Okay, does that make sense? And the closer I am in proximity to what happened to me, the more power it has over my life. I think about the children of Israel, how they refused to leave Egypt behind. God brought them out by his mighty hand. He delivered them in one night from Pharaoh. And God was trying to take them into his promises, into his provision, into plenty. Okay? And so the Bible says those things were written that they went through for us to learn from, because we're just like Israel. And God's trying to take them into what he wanted for them. But they were so stuck in their past and so focused on their past that what it did was it robbed them of faith for the present and a vision for the future. And when we're focused on the past, we have no faith for the now and we have no picture of what tomorrow could be. And so what happened was the Israelites died in the desert and they missed out on God's best. They missed what God wanted for them because they refused to let go of their past and leave it behind them. It took God one night to get Israel out of Egypt. It took him 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. And for a lot of us, we're that way. We're saved the instant we call on the name of the Lord. But our sanctification is the process where God is removing the residue of the old life from our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, so that what's on the inside actually begins to start showing up on the outside. And the sooner we learn to let go, the more quickly God is able to move in greater ways in our life. And so when we take those trips down memory lane, what we're doing is we're giving place to the devil. We're inviting the devil to come in and sit on the couch and run the remote control for us. Right? If you've got DVR at home, you know, you can pause it, play it, rewind it, call up anything you want. When you give the devil the remote control, he's calling up whatever he wants in your mind. He's like, oh, wait. Let's see that failure again in slow motion. Look at this angle on him, Johnny. And he gives the commentary and the play-by-play, and we sit there watching it. Yeah, I did. Yep, that was me. I am a loser. Right? And that's why we've got to be careful not to keep going back to the past and playing those things over and over and over again in our mind, because the more we play them, the worse it gets. So we've got to learn to let go. Somebody say, let go. And when I'm hanging on to something tight, my hand is closed, right? If I'm grabbing a hold of something and I have a clenched fist, it's hard for you to come and put something in my hand when it's like this. I can't hang on to anything else when my hand is closed. God wants to give you something new. When you're born again, he gives you a new life. Every day his mercy, his unfailing love is new. It's waiting on you. God has new things for you every single day. But if you're hanging on to your past like this, there is no room in your hand to open it up and allow God to lay in it the blessings he wants for you today. Psalm 68:19. Daily, the Lord loads us with blessings. Calvin Bristol, I think about one of your triaxles. Beep, beep, beep. Backing up at my doorstep every single day and dumping the blessings of God upon my life. But if I'm living like this, I'm never going to enjoy them. Okay? So we've got to learn to let those things go. Paul knew that for him to move forward and accomplish God's will and fulfill his purpose and answer his calling and step into his divine destiny, he had to let go and leave and forget what had happened to him in the past, whether it was success or failure. There is a time for building monuments, but it's not when the battle's raging on. We're engaged in warfare right now, church. Right? And so for us, we don't celebrate victories any longer than we mourn defeats. 15 minutes, and then there's time to do something else because we got places to go and people to see and jobs to do for the kingdom of God today. We can't get too focused on our past. Israel was guilty there too of building monuments. We're not a monument, we're a movement. Monuments stay in one place. Movements go forward. Which one do you want to be a part of? So success in our life is no accident. We believe in life by choice, not by chance. One of the greatest choices you can make is to let go of your past every single day, because God doesn't want you to live your life as a prisoner of your past. And it's not that we can't let it go. It's that we've made a decision that we won't let it go. God wants to help us, but our job is to just obey and get out of the way. Every time I obey, I clear the path for God to do something great in my life. He's not the one reminding you of your past. It's not God's will that you relive your pain and trauma every single day. And that's one of the reasons why every single day he gives us a reset every 24 hours. Every day we wake up, his mercy is new that morning. Again, this isn't Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Right? This isn't Groundhog Day. This is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. But you're never going to get something different by doing the same thing every single day. And I watch people struggle to go forward in their relationships and in their career and in their walk with God or their life or their marriage because they're obsessed and preoccupied with the past. And we cannot move forward in God if we're constantly looking back. I can't change what I was, but I thank God He changed who I am. I can't change where I've been, but I thank God for the power to choose where I'm headed. I can't change what I did, but I thank God that I can change what I'm doing. And the devil loves to drag up your past into the present and remind you of your mistakes to steal, kill, and destroy the abundant life God has provided and to keep you from walking in His promises and keep you focused on where you came from and who you were and what you did and what other people have done to you. And the more we obsess over it, the more frustrated and angry and bitter and isolated we become. And here's why. Because I have no power to change my past. You can't live from there. You got to live from here. You can't live out of yesterday. You've got to live out of today. God gave Israel manna every morning and quail every night. And there was only enough food for that day that He wanted them to gather. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Every single day, God wants you to live in the now and depend on Him. I cannot change my past, but I can choose my future. Number three is you've got to focus on your future. Number one was face your past. Number two, you got to forget your past. And number three, you got to focus on your future. Verse 13. Y'all want to come do this? I got a lot to remember. And your name's on top of it. He said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past and, so this was a twofer for Paul. And looking forward. I'm letting go of that. I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. Somebody say, to what lies ahead. I want to zero in on that part of the scripture. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Somebody say, there is something ahead. There's something ahead. There's something coming up. I love that he says it like that. There is more ahead of me than what I left behind me. That builds an excitement about tomorrow. Paul made a choice to focus on God's future. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My life is lived forward. Paul understood that what God saved him for was greater than what God saved him from. What God saved you for is greater than what God saved you from. Let me try that again. What God saved you for is greater than what He saved you from. I thank God for the cross. I thank God for what He did for me at Calvary. I thank God that 50 days later there was Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that empowered us. But let me tell you, those two events, like a cannonball, shot us out of a barrel to change our world and make a difference in our world for Jesus Christ. What He saved me for is greater than what He saved me from. There is something else. Paul understood there is something more. He understood I'm not finished, even though it feels like the world's caving in. This was a prison epistle. Everything in his life wasn't going right. Everything wasn't going good. This is not the end. We get stuck on snapshots in life. You know, if you're like me, you take all your pictures on your phone. We don't carry cameras anymore because our phones have it. And so I'm constantly taking pictures of stuff, and I have all these snapshots on my phone. But a snapshot is a frozen frame. It's a still image. It's motionless. And it just captured a fraction of a second in time. And that's the way it happens in our life. When we go through a setback, we're freeze framing things we go through. But I want to tell you today, your life is not an image and you aren't frozen in a moment. Your life is not a picture by itself. It is a motion picture. It's like a movie, and a movie is made when you take thousands upon thousands of single frames and you add them together moment by moment, is stacked together, frame after frame after frame, and it makes the movie of our life. I want to tell you right now that you may not like some of the snapshots of your life, but I want you to know today there is still a motion to your life, and it is still moving, and we have a God who's a great producer, and he's got some amazing editing software, and he's able to clip it all together so that when you're at the end of your life and you look back, he's able to say, did you see what we accomplished together? I think about Hebrews chapter 11. Come on, let's give him praise for that today. I think about Hebrews 11. Every one of them men and women were flawed and messed up, but they were only remembered for the good. I thank God for the power of the cross and his blood, that when he looks at me and looks through me, he still has the ability to enjoy the view, and he remembers me for the good in my life. I thank God for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that once my sin is under the blood, it is gone, hallelujah, and I can focus on walking with Jesus and serving the Lord and serving my world. Instead of focusing so much on being perfect, I allow him to start perfecting me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Focus on your future. Again, there's a reason why God put your eyes in the front of your head. He gives us that for real. I mean, you don't have to part your hair to look. Some of y'all got some big bangs from the 80s still, but that's okay. Think about it. He gives us things we can see to help us understand the things we can't see. He intended for us to spend more time looking forward than backward. How many of you drove to church today? How many of you drove to church using your rearview mirror only? My kids love the Cars movies. They love Mater. He's always known for driving backwards. And so when I take Zoe, she always wants me to take one of the church buses and drive around the parking lot because I drive around backwards. We go around the church parking lot backwards, and John's in here panicking and praying. But you know what? If you try to drive somewhere for any length of time, it's okay to use your rear view for a moment. But if you try to go a long distance using your rear view mirror, you're going to end up wrecked. And it's the same way in our life. You will wreck your life if you live out of the rear view mirror. There's a fascinating scripture in Luke 17:32. It's only three words. Remember Lot's wife. If you remember, when God poured out his judgment at Sodom and Gomorrah, he told them to get out of there and to never look back. And she turned around and she looked back, and when she did, she became a pillar of salt. Literally, y'all. It's not just a cute story. It literally happened. And it's a warning for us, and there is a danger to looking back to the past. And here's what the danger is. Here's the moral of the story. It will reduce your life to nothingness. If we live consumed by our past, when we finish our life, we're going to look back and the only thing we're going to see is nothing. You have a choice to make every single day. You can forget about your past or you can forget about your future. And that's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Kingdom living can only be done forward. Your life is not behind you. God's best is not behind you. God gave you the ability to choose where you focus. And where your eyes go, your life will follow. They did a study in West Texas because it's so flat, and people were hitting telephone poles one after another as they were driving down the highway, and they couldn't figure it out. It's so flat, so wide open, the visibility's so good. They couldn't understand, why are people hitting one pole after another? And what they found out was when people were in the middle of having the accident and lost control of their car, their eye would fix on the pole, and they would say, don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole. Wham! They hit the pole. Why? Because your life follows your eyes. You will move in the direction of your vision. Let me say that again. You will move in the direction of your vision. And so that tells me where my eyes go, my life follows. If I set my eyes on the future, I move toward the future. If I set my eyes on the promises of God, I move towards the promises of God. If I set my eyes on my purpose, I move towards my purpose. But if I set my eyes on the past or on the things I've lost or where I failed or the negativity or the defeats that leave me depressed and hopeless, I move toward those things in my life. Does this make sense to y'all today? Okay. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says it like this. It says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. And so we've got to know that God created us to not only look forward and not only choose where we focus, but he created us to only be able to look in one direction at a time. I can't look forward and backward at the same time because I don't have eyes in the back of my head. You moms do. I don't. But we can only look in one direction at a time. And that's why it's important that we be careful where we focus. Because if you go back to the book of Genesis and you look at what Eve did in the Garden of Eden, God creates this amazing place, the most lush, tropical, gorgeous, perfect climate you could imagine, the most amazing foods and fruits they could ever even begin to dream of to eat. It was a place of perfection. God creates everything. He says it's all good. He gives it to them. He creates them and says their relationship is good. Life is perfect. It's a place of perfection. It was paradise. It was heaven on earth. And he puts one tree in the Garden of Eden, one tree in an entire forest. And he said, you can have everything, but you can't have that. Everything else is good, one thing is bad. And what does the devil get Eve to do? He gets her to focus on the one bad thing until she forgets everything else good. And that is the nature of every single one of us in this room. If we're not careful, we allow our eyes to move towards the negative or towards the bad. And what we find out is that we will move towards what we look at, just like she and Adam did. And so what I've done is I've made up my mind to find the good in every situation. I've made up my mind to find the good trees. I want to find God in every season of my life. I want to find his blessing in my life today. And when you don't feel God, start counting your blessings, because I promise you, he'll start showing up in your situation. And so I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to find the good. I'm going to find God. I'm going to find where he's moving. I'm going to find his blessing. And I've learned to always find what I'm looking for. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. You will always find what you're looking for. And so this is what I made up my mind about 15 years ago. I wrote this down. I said, I will not look for fault because it's always there to find. I will look for good. I refuse to look for what's wrong when I can choose to look at what's right. I speak to what's good. I celebrate what's good. What's wrong finds me all by itself. If I look for fault, I'll ruin everything good I find. Isn't that true about life? It's like the saying, two men look through prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. You choose what you look at. I choose to focus on what I have, not what I lost. I choose to focus on where I am, not where I was. Amen? Number four, force yourself to keep moving forward. You've got to force yourself to keep moving forward. And I believe this is one of the most powerful points of everything we're going to talk about today. We've got to make ourselves move forward. Because y'all know when we go through a setback, we don't feel like it. We feel like giving up. You've got to face it. You've got to forget it. And then you've got to focus on your future. But number four, you've got to force yourself to keep moving forward. The Apostle Paul says in verse 14, I press toward the what? The goal. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul had a determination. Paul had a tenacity. You don't get the prize unless you press toward the goal. And there's plenty of reason for all of us to stop where we are. I've had plenty of opportunities to give up in my life. I just wasn't smart enough to take any of them. All of us have had things that we could have given up. We could have said, you know what, I just don't want to go on any farther. The pain's too great, or whatever it might have been. I love what Dr. Martin Luther King said. He said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward. You've got to keep moving forward as a believer. Jesus said the same thing like this. He said, he who endures till the end shall be saved. And there's only three kinds of people in this room today. There's the quitters. There's the campers, and there's the climbers. And you've got to choose which one of those you're going to be. You can't quit because things don't go the way we thought they'd be. You can't give up because you experience a setback. You can't camp out because you feel like you've gone far enough and you've done pretty good compared to your neighbor. And you know what? I'm okay to just settle in right where I'm at. I don't really feel like giving any better than what I've already done. I've done enough. I've gone far enough. Or you can keep climbing, which is what God has called every single one of us to do. Because we've got to realize today, what we're going through is not what we're going to. And when life gets difficult, we get focused on what's right here. Is that right? And we lose sight of there's a bigger picture. We lose sight of the fact that Jesus is still on the throne. And there's coming a day when the eastern sky is going to split and the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. There is more to my life than what you see right now. And even though things may not be going okay now, I know that I have a judge who is fair. And in the end, he will weigh everything out. And when he does, I have confidence that it will come out in my favor and that he will not give up on me, and that he will finish the good work he started in my life, and he is the author and the finisher of my faith, and we're going to see this thing through together. But don't sit on the sidelines of your life another day and dig in your heels. Start running toward tomorrow with a new expectation. See, Paul said in verse 14, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal. Somebody say, I press toward the goal. The word goal in the Greek is skopos. Now, for those of you who don't know, this extremely handsome young man standing to my left, this is my nephew, Theron. We call him Bose. He's going to be 21 tomorrow. And I'm telling you, Bose can hunt. I've seen him blister some stuff at distances that would just make you wag your head. He's got some pretty good scopes his dad's given him over the years. But what does a scope do, Bose? It helps you zero in on a target, right? It takes that goal and it brings it closer to you. It takes what you want to reach out and touch and it brings it a little bit closer. That's what a goal does for us. A goal takes those things that are way out in the future and it brings it closer. It is a scope. It helps us to zero in on one target. And the goal is what we're shooting for. I love this quote. It says, you hit what you aim at, and if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. You hit what you aim at. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every single time. When we suffer a setback, it's easy to lose our way. It's easy to lose our focus. It's easy to forget about the future because all we can think about is what we're going through right now. It's easy to lose our purpose, but your setback cannot separate you from the purpose of God. Your setback cannot separate you from the love of God. Your setback cannot separate you from the power of the Holy Spirit. And your goal, your scope, every single day you get up is to, number one, love God. Every day I get up, I'm going to love you with everything I've got. And number two, it's to love other people the same way Jesus loved us. And so now I start looking for people around me that I can show them the love of Jesus in tangible ways every single day. And number three, it's to win my world for Jesus Christ. Because I'm not just the messenger, I am the message. I am a trophy of his grace. Somebody needs to hear what God has done in my life for him to do something great in their life. Every single day I get up, it is my job to give nothing less than my best to whatever my hand finds to do. If I'm a mom or a mechanic or a banker or a lawyer, or whatever it might be, a teacher, every single day, my job is to do my best at whatever it is that gets set in front of me. Every day I get up, my job is to sow where I want to grow. It's to be as generous as I can be and still have enough money left to pay my bills. And when I do those things, when I hit those goals, what I'm doing is building a legacy. I'm building something that lasts. I don't want to leave my kids just an inheritance. Inheritance is what I leave to them, but legacy is what I leave in them. I want to leave the Son of God in their hearts. I want my babies to want my God. Can you get on your feet today and give him praise? See, let me finish just by saying this. Your setback will take you to breakdown or breakthrough. You choose. It's all about what you focus on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And let us, somebody say, that's me. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us, We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. And I pray for every person in this room that has struggled with their past. That today, Father, they came in here struggling with their past. That they're having a hard time letting it go and leaving it behind and reaching forward and actually believing that there could be something better tomorrow than what they've already had in their past. Father, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that you would restore hope. I pray that you would restore the light on the horizon for them. I pray this morning that it would be a revelation, God, that their best days are ahead of them. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that fear would rise up in their hearts this morning, that overtakes the faith would rise up in their hearts this morning, that overtakes the fear that is trying to hold them back, Father, that is keeping them from releasing the past. Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that faith would rise and it would move that mountain out of the way. I thank you now, Father, that this week there's going to be a release in their spirit. Father, that this week there's going to be an ease. There's going to be a joy for the journey this week. Father, I thank you for opening their eyes to the blessings and the new things you provided for them every single day. And Father, we give you thanks and praise for helping us this morning to get past our past. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, which I apply right now by faith over every heart and every home. I thank you, Jesus, that victory is ours and the glory is yours. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we give God praise this morning?